2016. The great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from A History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Welcome, everyone, new listeners and old listeners, partners, friends. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Christina Sasso, and I'm here with the love of my life, Frank Sasso.
Hello.
And we are doing our podcast actually in the middle of August. We are steamingly hot here in New Jersey. I can't wait for the fall.
But we're grateful for central air conditioning.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for central air, even though I still feel hot right now. But I'm grateful for it because it's really hot out there.
Oof.
So, Frank, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I think I'm spiritually perturbed, if that's even a thing. I'm fired up about something.
Now, what could that be?
Last week, we had gotten some news about someone we knew who was a pastor who passed away.
Yes.
Got killed in a motorcycle accident. Pretty, you know, young, 57 years old.
Yes.
And his wife was critically injured.
Yes.
Okay. And it just really, it bothers me how the response you get from Christians when they hear something like that.
Right.
And that is, you know, right. Well, this bothers you just as much as it bothers me, if not more. The whole we're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
Are these people reading their Bibles?
Well, we kind of know the background of the person.
Yeah.
So we were shocked. We were horrified that this happened. And so been grieving kind of this whole week about it and praying for the wife who's improving, praise the Lord, but still in ICU. But when we hear this, we get so hurt because we feel like they're Christian and we love them.
Right.
But they're missing such a big
they're missing out.
Blessing.
Yeah.
They're,
and if you said this to them, they'd be like all over you.
Well, I mean, this particular pastor was one of the pastors in a church that we got kicked out of.
Right.
Because of this very same belief.
Right.
So you would say, well, you know, if you say that you're protected and you say that no harm can come to you, and if you say God promised you a long, satisfied life, then how could this happen?
Right.
Well, you need to be standing under that belief. You need to believe that.
Right.
You need to speak that. As often as you possibly can, you need to read Psalm 91 and read the promises that God gives you there. And you need to believe that it's true in your life.
Right.
Now, you might read that Psalm 91 and you might say, oh, yes, rah, rah, I believe that. And then turn around and in your mouth say something like, well, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right, right.
You know, you might get hit by a bus, which I have heard.
Oh, yeah. Okay? At the pulpit, I've heard that.
Yes. So I am saying, how could you believe that God is going to protect you and you have angels in camp around you and then say, well, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Your life is but a vapor.
Right. So if you're double-minded, in my opinion, that's a double-minded man. And you know that scripture, Frank.
Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not him think he may receive anything from the Lord.
So
That's what that scripture says.
Jesus, over and over again in the New Testament, said to people who came to him with sick and dead people and said, just believe, just believe, just believe. Madam, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed
your faith. Yes, individual.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm just saying all of this to lead up to why we're a little spiritually perturbed.
Yes.
And also on a side note, we're doing this, freewheeling today. We're not editing anything.
Yes,
it's
not being edited.
Because normally Frank will take out the ums and the page turning and the hesitations, and we're just gonna go with the flow of the Holy Spirit today. So this is unedited.
Raw.
Raw.
This is Who's Your Daddy Unplugged.
Right. Hmm. So this is not meant to offend anybody, because if anybody who is listening knows who I'm talking about, this is not meant to, you know, hurt people,
right,
or grieve people or offend people.
It's not coming from an uncaring heart.
But here's the thing. If we keep letting this talk and this speech and this
doctrine,
belief keep going, then how many more people are going to die,
yeah,
violently or any other way before they fulfill their purpose, before their time?
With the worst part, putting it on God.
And I'd rather you be offended,
yes,
by what I'm saying and at least search it out for yourself than just give you a nice platitude and say, well, we never know. Oh, well, you know,
yeah,
we don't know God's will or his purposes. There must be,
yeah,
something God wants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that garbage. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it to a grieving person. I might not say what I'm saying right now to a grieving person, but down the road, I feel like I would rather tell you the truth and have you be mad at me,
right,
and hate me,
uh-huh,
than feed you a bunch of lies and have you die before your time.
Right. Right.
So that's my motivation. That's Frank's motivation here. It's not to cause grief or offense or anything. I just want you to know the truth so that you can live that long, long, long satisfied life.
Which we'll also get into that scripture. So they always quote James 4, verse 13. Always.
Yes.
Come now, what?
Do you want, can I read the, I just want
you to read the scripture. Right.
All right. A while ago, long time ago, when we were in that very same church, another pastor had done a teaching on James 4. And he went on to say how, well, you know, you never know. God didn't promise you tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. And whenever I hear something like that, like little alarm buzzers go on in my head. Because if you know God's character, then you read his word and you see things like, I promise you a long, satisfied life. And then you hear something like, well, he's not, you know, tomorrow is not promised you. Then you say to yourself, or you should say to yourself, well, wait a minute, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, I'll ask you, doesn't that, listener, sound like a contradiction? On one hand, he's saying, I promise you a long, satisfied life. And on the other hand, I don't promise you tomorrow. I might take your life tomorrow. That sounds like a maniac to
me,
right?
Sure.
So,
it's not consistent.
After I heard that sermon, I'm like, well, and here's what you should do, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Bible. Don't believe what your pastors say just because he's the pastor.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, you shouldn't trust your pastor. But, you know, you have equal footing in the Bible. You have equal access to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So you can go in there with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can say to you, you know, I love your pastor, but he's wrong.
Right.
Okay? So it's okay. It is okay.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So I went into the scripture, and I'm like, I just, yeah, I don't understand this contradiction. All right, so let me just read you the passage. Bear with me. I'm going to read the whole thing from 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now let's wait a second. And if you research this out, you find out who he's talking to.
You have to know who the Bible's talking to,
right,
when you read the Bible.
Exactly.
He's talking to sinners, and he's talking to the righteous.
He's talking to Jews, and he's talking to Gentiles. Right. Okay, so you have to know who he's talking to.
Right.
All right. In this particular case, James is talking to unbelievers.
Now, this is after Jesus went back to heaven.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's talking to unbelievers. These are not saved people. These are sinners. Okay.
He's preaching to sinners.
And let's go on. Let's go on to James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know what friendship with the world is hatred toward God? That's the sinners,
that's
right?
That's not us, right?
That's not us. That's not us because we're not of the world.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Yes. To interject this. Mm-hmm. What if someone says to you, well, we're all sinners. What do you mean? You're not a sinner?
No, I am not.
I am not either.
And viewer out there, if you've accepted Jesus into your life, into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are not a sinner either.
Right.
You were a sinner, and now you are the righteousness of God because you've been saved by grace.
Let me throw another wrench in there real quick. We always hear, you know, we're sinners saved by grace. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. No, mm-hmm. we're not. That's like saying, I'm a lawyer, and I didn't go to law school.
Right.
I was a sinner. Right. And because I got saved by grace, mm-hmm. I am now the righteousness of God.
Right, right.
Was a sinner.
So,
okay.
Just to recap, James is talking to sinners, not believers. He's not talking to you and I. You know, the Bible is for sinners. Hmm. It's for the world. It's for the unsaved. So they can pick it up and read it and find themselves in it and then repent and take the forgiveness that's already been applied to their life.
Right.
And apply it to their life.
Right, exactly.
So, hey, wouldn't it be great if a sinner picked up this scripture and said, oh my God, James is talking about me.
Mm.
Let me make a change.
Haha.
All right. But he's not talking to you, believer.
No.
All right. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely. Elms. Oh, God. Sorry about that. Huh? No.
What was that? I missed that part.
I'm a little too excited. All right.
Read that again.
Okay. See, we're not editing. Or do you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely?
Okay. That
but
makes
he
sense.
Gives us more grace.
Right.
That is why scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Submit yourselves. Okay, so here he is talking to...
He's telling you what to do now.
Yeah, he's saying, here's what you can do. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Right.
Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands,
you sinners,
and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Double-minded, that's right.
Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning over your past life, he's saying, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
So he starts off by reading their mail, and then he says, okay, here's how you can fix it.
Exactly.
Boom.
Exactly.
Done. It's so simple. Why do people make this so complicated?
Well, you have to,
believers.
Again, I think a lot of people read the scripture, like that pastor who
yeah.
gave this sermon,
right, right.
and assumed that this was just for him.
To the people, he read this to the people who were in church?
Right, the saved.
Right.
Okay. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or...
Well, who's he talking about now? He's talking to the brethren, right?
Right.
Because he's saying brothers.
Mm-hmm. Brother, do not slander another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you who are to judge, who are you to judge your neighbor?
Right. Who are you to do that?
Okay.
Right.
Now, again, in your Bibles, like I'm the one I'm looking in right now, which I'll tell you is, you think I would know which one I have right here, the NIV, it's broken up into these little topics.
Mm.
Please understand that that's not how it was written.
Right.
So you stop reading, you know, at the chapter here and the chapter here and the little topic here and the little topic here.
Bold.
And meanwhile, it's supposed to be read as one long story
right,
or,
exactly.
or sermon
message, right.
or message,
uh-huh.
and it's broken up, and now you're thinking, oh, this is another day. And no, this is, he's taking a breath, and
right.
now he's going to say something else.
Yeah.
So this is all connected.
That breath translates to a new chapter, unfortunately.
But it's not.
Translations.
All right, so let me continue with James 4. Now I'm on verse 13.
Here we go.
Now listen! Attention, you who say... Now, here's where I had the revelation. Again, he's talking to a group of unbelievers, and Frank can expound on this in a minute, but he's talking to unbelievers. So he's saying, you who say, I am not, Frank is not, you believers out there are not, quote unquote, you who say. Because those are the unbelievers, those are the sinners. So he's saying, now listen, you sinners, you unbelievers, today or tomorrow, you say, today or tomorrow, we will go into this city or that city, spend a year here, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Ah, okay, here it is. So, what James is saying, he's saying to the unbeliever, you're making all these plans in your own self, with your own pride and your own... you know, schedule and your own plan.
Right.
And meanwhile, you and yourself, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
To you.
To you. Or to the city that you're going to go into or your business or whatever.
Right.
Because you're operating without the Holy Spirit. You're operating in your own human spirit.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Again, not talking to me and you.
But the sinner, right. So you can say, what is your life?
Right. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, instead you ought to say. Now he's saying, this is what you should say, sinners. This is what you should
yeah,
be doing.
Right.
If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Why is boasting evil? Because you're boasting about yourself.
Because it's not Christ-centered.
Right. You're not being humble. You're not giving the glory to God. You're taking all the glory for yourself.
Mm.
All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Now, I'm just going to continue a little bit into 5. Now, listen, you rich people. Weep and wail. Because of the misery that is coming upon you. Now, he's still talking to the same people.
Oh, I thought he had a problem with rich people.
No. He's talking to these people because aren't they traitors?
Here's the reason that he called them rich people
mm-hmm.
was because that's where they found their identity. So he knew if he addressed them as rich people,
mm-hmm.
they would know that he was talking to them.
And they were businessmen, weren't they?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay,
they were
so traveling businessmen.
Traders,
all right,
businessmen.
And putting it in
right.
our today's terms.
Yeah.
So he's not saying that he has a problem because they're rich, but he's identifying them as rich because that's how they identify themselves.
Exactly.
That's where their pride comes from.
Right.
And he's saying to these sinners, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Now, pay attention. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you fail to pay the workmen who mowed your fields and are crying out against you. So here's some businessmen who had work done and failed to pay the workmen.
Oh.
So not only are they rich, not only are they sinners, but they're cheats.
And they're selfish and, yeah. Exactly.
They're not even paying the people for the jobs that were done.
Right.
All right, so you get the picture of who he's talking to now?
Right.
All right. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you.
Yeah.
We're also talking to murderers here.
Yeah, this
okay?
is like he's talking to the righteous here.
So I just wanted to present that clear picture of who James is talking to. And as the people he's talking to, these wealthy, cheating, thieving, murderers,
right.
he's saying, you're making your plans, you're thinking you're so big, you're boasting, And you don't even, tomorrow's not, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because you're planning within yourself.
To them.
To them.
You, sinner, does not know what's going to happen
exactly.
tomorrow.
Exactly. You who say.
Right.
You who say.
Right.
That is not the believer. That is not us. So, when I hear from a pulpit after someone has passed who's been a Christian, who's done wonderful things for the Lord,
right.
and hear, well, you know, tomorrow isn't promised. As if God took him out. As if God made this happen. How do you reconcile God's character
right.
as a good father? God is good, and all the time, God is good, but maybe someday, you know, you'll be in a car crash.
No, but. No, not but as if to say God's not like that. They're saying God is like that.
He's not like that.
I know. Right. Exactly.
So, really, be very careful when you go to a funeral or a memorial service. I mean, I listen really carefully, and then I start just rebuking things right and left. Oof. Like, I'm not heartless, and I don't do it out loud as much as I'd like to, but I make a note of it, and I, in my own heart,
right.
I said, Lord, I know they're not talking about you.
Oh, it's so wrong. It's so wrong.
You know, you also hear things like, well, we don't understand why this happened, but we know there's a purpose in it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there yeah. is a purpose
Here's the
in
purpose.
It. The purpose is the devil didn't like that this man affected many, many lives. He didn't like it.
Right.
So rather than let him go on affecting lives in a positive way, let me take him out now.
Right.
That was the purpose.
The purpose was the enemy wanted him out and he took him out,
right.
period. Because if this was God's purpose.
Yeah.
To take this person.
Right.
Well, why wouldn't he take his wife? Why would he make his wife not take his wife? Like, what was the purpose there? To leave her in ICU?
Right.
Well, I don't understand.
And also, here's a good loving God, right?
Yeah.
That we all praise and worship.
Right.
If he needs to take someone out.
Yeah, right.
Really? Is this the way he would do it?
He would do it the way he did Enoch, the way he did Elijah. That's the way he takes people.
Right.
He takes them where they are no
They're
more.
Alive.
Meaning, yeah, he takes them alive.
Right.
They couldn't find Enoch's body.
Right. He doesn't make someone go through a tragic, violent act.
Ridiculous.
Or sickness.
So ridiculous.
To take them. Really?
Then they follow it up with, at the funeral usually you hear this, Jesus wept. You know why Jesus wept?
Yes, I do.
He wept. when he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, if you knew you were going to raise somebody from the dead, would you be crying?
No.
No. The reason he was weeping, if you read your Bible, it says he wept. They say, look at how he loved Lazarus, that he's crying. Jesus wept because of their unbelief.
Right.
That's why he wept.
Yeah.
Not because Lazarus was dead and he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. That's not why he wept. Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, let me put it to the listener. If you heard one of your best friends had passed away and you knew you were going to raise him from the dead.
And you knew it was going to happen.
And you knew it was going to happen.
Well, right.
Would you not be skipping and laughing and then you get there and find everybody's crying and just being like, oh no, what are we going to do? That would hurt my heart.
Yeah.
But in myself, I'd be like, woohoo, wait till you see what happens
now.
Well,
it hurt him because those people knew what he was capable
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
And
they saw friends.
Jesus on the spot and they were still crying.
Right. Exactly.
So, instead of going, oh my, thank God, Jesus is here.
Right. He wept for their lack of faith in,
right.
in him.
But you never hear that preached. You only hear Jesus wept, period.
To justify the grieving.
Yeah.
It's okay to grieve. I'm not saying you should, absolutely. But please don't take the Bible and twist it around to fit your situation.
Right.
So, feel a little better saying that. Read it for yourself. I always have to go back to that.
Right, it's the truth.
Find the scriptures, the things that set off those alarm bells. Sit down with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I don't get it. Show me. What does this mean? I don't understand. And he will show you the truth. He has already given you all wisdom and all knowledge because he lives inside of you. So you share the same brain.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, we're running out of time.
No, we're not.
Here we are.
Oh, no. But you had something to say.
You said it.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all good. It's all good. Whatever. It's fine. It's cool. So anyway, listeners, remember this. Until next time, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus
is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.